This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. Hey, Nathaniel Hackett, whatever you're doing, you need to take it and rip it up and throw it out.
This is the Rich Eisen Show, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
As for the Chargers, the stuff they're running with Justin Herbert makes it seem like they don't know who they really have there. It just seems to me like watching paint dry.
Today's guests, Prime Video Thursday Night Football analyst Ryan Fitzpatrick, Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter from the CBS drama CSI Vegas, actress Mark Helgenberger, and now... It's Rich Eisen.
Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live from Los Angeles, California, Big Ten country. Every time I say that, it's a laugh line.
It makes me laugh.
It's unbelievable. Me too. We're live on the Roku channel, channel 210, for another edition of the Rich Eisen Show, the Wednesday right before week number 7 of the NFL season begins, the Wednesday after the tip-off of the NBA 2022-2023 season that went down last night. We say hello to everybody who's watching on the Roku channel, channel 210, and everyone listening on Sirius channel 218, XM 202. The app is 992 if you're listening on the Sirius XM app. There's also the Odyssey stream. There's a terrestrial radio network coast to coast. By the way, richeisenshow.com is how you can find your affiliate that... has the brains, let's just say it, to pick this show up and put it into your ear gate through terrestrial radio waves, thanks to our friends at Westwood One. They also help put our podcast together every day. All 3 hours of this show available for your listening pleasure whenever you darn well please on the Cumulus Podcast Network, where all podcasts can be acquired. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show is a nice backstop. So is the Rich Eisen Show Collection. As it is called, by the way, it's a very Nancyan way of me saying that the Rich Eisen Show collection
we need
is available on the Roku channel, where you can check us out on demand. You can check us out live. You can check us out whenever you darn well please, because we re-air on channel 210, and then there is the video version of it that you can see on demand whenever you want through the collection page, where all the shows get chopped up. Bottom line is, we're consumable, and we appreciate it. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. What's going on, brother?
Rich, I'm great.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Good
morning,
to see
Rich.
You, sir. TJ Jefferson, light the candle, brother. How are you, sir? Good to see you today.
Rich, the fact that the Sixers didn't draft Jason Tatum is going to haunt me for the rest of my life, and because of that, he just drops 35 on him whenever he feels like it, and it just bothers me.
Here's the deal, and here's what I love.
I love it.
Let me just start this way. With last week when I said October's the best sports month that's out there, and I said the upcoming weekend, the one that just passed, is a perfect example of it, where the NFL and college football seasons have gone just enough for us to get a general sense of who the surprises are that are for real or need to keep going and winning games to prove that they're for real, and stakes getting higher for teams like, say, the Denver Broncos, where, you know, a 2-3 start, they need to start reversing course, and they didn't. And then teams are eliminated from their seasons in Major League Baseball playoffs, right? Dodgers get eliminated, for instance, by the San Diego Padres. And by the way, I got hit by Kyle Schwarber's baseball on the way in.
Oh, you did? Yeah. I wondered where that ended.
On the way in, I'm like, wow, that hit my front windshield. It came from south. I mean, gosh.
Very far.
As the NLCS began last night. But in this town of Los Angeles, California, unlike, say, my hometown of New York City, when, let's just say, had the Yankees lost yesterday, and they did not, had the Yankees lost yesterday, I would have turned the page completely to the Jets season, because I despise the Knicks. And Mets fans, let's just say, for instance, you, sir, you move your basketball
immediately.
Lover, or your football or what have you. Here in Los Angeles, the Dodgers getting eliminated. They're not moving on to the Rams or the Chargers, not in this town.
The majority.
Some might eight clap for UCLA. Some might go fight on for USC.
A lot of them, though.
Yeah, I know. But no, they turned the page to the Lakers. That's where they turned their page here in this town, with all due respect to your Clippers. They turned the page to the Lakers, and it took one night, one single night, for the off-season-long narrative of Russell Westbrook doesn't fit here, and Darvin Ham's plan for him is something he's not buying completely into. That it took one day for that narrative to just roost as the Lakers lose in San Francisco. Golden State got their rings and then ran rings around the Lakers, and the Lakers defensively didn't look all that terrific. But, you know, when Steph Curry's ringing threes up and the Warriors are doing their business, they can put 123 on you, and that's what happened last night. And it just took one halftime to appear for Charles Barkley to say the Lakers should trade Westbrook now and that he's not playing with the same energy and vigor, right? And so he seemed to have a point. And interestingly enough, Westbrook last night had a better plus-minus rating than both LeBron and Anthony Davis. LeBron was minus 10, Anthony Davis minus 21, meaning, you know, you put together the number of minutes they were on the floor and how many points the Lakers were down, being outscored by. Westbrook minus 6, 19 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, one steal, and 4 turnovers, as the Lakers now fall to 11-11. With all three in the lineup together.
LeBron 0-5 on opening night with the Lakers.
Shame.
Darvin Ham, after the game, said that you wanted some energy. And no one better than him, meaning Westbrook, about getting the game started off right away, and he wanted Westbrook's approach to competition to jolt the team. Quote, I mean, it's what we have. We got some key guys hurt. It's game one. Give him a chance to go out and compete at the highest level. I thought he was solid.
Uh-oh.
Now, you know, solid for me is an infused word. That's a negative, but a lot of people don't view it that way. I bring this up essentially to say it's just one game in, and we're still talking about it. There's 81 more to go. And the Lakers open up their home court season against the Clippers on Thursday night. But Westbrook saying after the game that he's battling a hamstring tweak that came about because the final preseason game, Darvin Ham was just experimenting and had him come off the bench, and he's not used to that.
Okay.
It is just a little bit more fuel to a fire that clearly in the NBA, it's a long slog of a season, and this may prove to be nothing, but already, this is what you're seeing. Already, this is what you're seeing. And you would think, coming out of this, if the Lakers had won, we'd be sitting here talking about, should Draymond have actually been allowed to get his ring last night? Could the Lakers actually be any better? Could this be possible?
Well, we'd be ready for part two of his weird documentary that aired last night.
I didn't know.
Oh my gosh.
Didn't see.
21 minutes aired on the TNT broadcast.
Is that right?
Of just Draymond not really remorseful for punching his teammate.
Look, that's something that could eventually come home to roost later on this season or whatever, but the Warriors are pretty damn good. They're really great. And the Lakers appear to be still full of holes. And Westbrook is the guy that they're going to point to, even though he didn't have the worst night of them all. Just one game in. We're already talking about that. And, man, I love the association. Just one game in. Is Harden going to be the right guy there in Philadelphia? The one shot.
I mean, Harden looked pretty good last night.
Harden looked good. Right? Harden looked good. But that one moment where he shook off was at Marcus Mott. He shook off and then had the whole wide open shot and shimmied and then missed everything pretty much.
Yeah, well, if you're going to do that,
You got to hit the shot.
Make the shot.
Got to hit.
And I know I'm just.
And he's
I'm
done just, that before. Just, most just, of the times he does hit he that does. Shot.
I'm just picking at it. I'm just picking at that sort of stuff.
But I'm already picking at the offense looking exactly the same with him dribbling a lot and scoring.
Right. That's what I'm saying to you.
Can I make a plea to Joel Embiid, please? You are 7'1". You're 280 pounds of muscle. Bro, you're going to play about 70 games this year, and yet you hit the ground at least 7 times per game. Like, it's amazing how many times Joel hits the ground, right? And I'm no mathematician, but 77, that's like 490 times a year. He's going to have to pick that 7'1", 280-pound frame up off the ground, Rich. And he keeps falling. He's going to get hurt. I don't understand it. I don't understand.
He took a fall last night and then immediately was like grabbing his head. You remember that?
Then one time he knocked knees. Yeah. I'm like, do you notice that? Is it just me? He hits the ground way too much. I don't understand that.
Well, hopefully his off-season workout regimen will be helpful.
I don't know how helpful
here we go.
That can be.
The association's back, guys.
I'm pretty pumped.
The association's back.
It's going to be great.
Congratulations. Thank you. I know you guys love that.
I do. Oh, yeah.
Rich Eisen Show Basketball Podcast, Season 2 debuts tonight.
There you go. Fantastic. And then another narrative of the NBA season will go down tonight when Ja Morant chews up the Knicks like a play toy. Kicking off the ESPN coverage.
Go nuts.
You're very optimistic about that. You're saying the Rick Brunson's son Jalen isn't going to be able to stop him?
There's a ton of folks on the old bandwagon in Memphis. A lot of bandwagon hoppers right now.
It's a good squad, man.
I know.
Remember how good they were when Ja didn't play?
They are long and strong, and when Ja plays, it's a totally different ball of wax, isn't it?
Highlight film.
But they're good without him, and they're great with him, and they're long and can play defense, and that's what can disrupt some team like, say, the Warriors.
And they got a little bit of an attitude to them, too.
They sure do, and that'll happen tonight, so we'll talk about it throughout this three-hour edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Ryan Fitzpatrick's up first. How about them apples?
It's magic.
You got yourself an Amazon Prime game tomorrow night. Week seven for him. Yeah. Arizona taking on the Saints.
Sneaky good game.
And the whole conversation, I would think, going into this game is how will DeAndre Hopkins just change the dynamic for an Arizona Cardinals team that can't do a darn thing right. More than one-third of the time. And one-third of the time is two wins in which they came from a 20-point deficit in Vegas, and their only lead of the game was at the final gun when they kicked a field goal. And then Arizona Cardinals have got another win on the road, taking down, one would say, a team that everyone should take down in Carolina. They have yet to win at home. They should take care of business against the Saints. We'll discuss a lot about that with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then another issue I want to talk to him about is what's going on in Green Bay. Is it my young Jets that just punked him? What's going to happen when they go to Washington? Rumor has it that the Packers are going to be in the trade market for a wide receiver. Interesting. DeSean Jackson just signed in Baltimore. There's an Odell Beckham free agency tour that's going to start happening very shortly. The trade deadline is November 1st. What's up with that? Will the Packers go ahead and add somebody now that Randall Cobb is down for the season? And who could that somebody be that can start playing for the Packers and win football games for them? And then obviously what's going on with Denver? Did you hear Russell Wilson's got a hamstring injury that could be fairly serious? We could see Brett Rippon for the Broncos on Sunday.
Any relation?
Yeah.
It's his son?
I believe it's his nephew.
Okay.
You're right about that.
Uncle Mark. Yeah. So.
Nephew.
Yes, sir. I don't know. As I said, the Broncos should take their stuff and throw it out.
What if Brett Rippon comes in here and starts dealing?
As I said to you yesterday, there is a small handful of quarterbacks that would be immune to what Dak just endured from the Twitterverse and the 24/7 365 sports conversation universes like this one. in sports talk radio, very few quarterbacks would be immune from the maybe this backup should keep playing conversation. And Russell Wilson ain't one of them now. So Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to join us. Chris Carter is the subject of this week's NFL Icons on Epics. NFL Films produced Epics broadcast. I do the narration for it. It's going to be great talking to Chris Carter, whose Vikings and Eagles played each other in week number two on Monday Night Football and are sitting both atop their divisions. And then, you know, Chris will get a chance to see his Ohio State Buckeyes on Big Noon Fox for the first time this weekend as Michigan's on a bye. Ohio State taking on Iowa. And I'll start talking to Chris with a little bit from my chest since that is what I've been doing lately. And I know you like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then hour number three, a guest who has not been here since when? Our first full month of being on the air, right? November of 2014.
November 2014.
Marg Helgenberger will be here. She's back in her role that she helped create for the whole CSI oeuvre. She's in CSI Vegas as Catherine Willows, her character from back in the day of CSI Crime Scene Investigation, which took place in Vegas. Trust me, we'll almost make it make sense. And that's in hour number three. My power rankings are Rich Eisen Show basketball predictions. Last year, I got it right. Who was going to win the NBA Finals? Tune in to hear my prediction to make sure you sound right when I get this one right again.
Wow.
I mean, cool. You did nail it last year, man. As much as I don't
I did say Warriors over Nets. So I missed that one, but I did
I've
say
been
Warriors.
Reminded of it. I did say Warriors.
Wait till you hear where I got in this one. Nobody is predicting this.
We know you picked the Magic. It's cool.
Nobody is predicting this, and I did not predict the Magic. Oh. I did not. Although there is a Magic element to it.
Oh yeah. Oh. See, yeah. I think we're simpatico on.
You think so? Because we're choosing NBA Finals Coach of the Year, MVP and Rookie of the Year.
Correct.
Okay, very good. Those are our predictions. And then there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial throughout. When we come back, guy sitting right in the middle of the Prime Video set. His name's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's doing a great job talking on the air, part of the paparazzi now. He'll, I imagine, calling in from Arizona where week number seven begins. Coming back with Ryan Fitzpatrick right here on the Rich Eisen Show on a busy Wednesday. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. For those who are listening on terrestrial radio now, you just missed a segment where we were mind-blowing facts. Mind-blowing facts. You should look it up. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show after a lengthy NFL career where he just was one of the most joyous and enjoyable players to watch, and now I'm enjoying watching him right in the middle of the set on Prime Video's coverage of Thursday Night Football, where we're going to watch the Arizona Cardinals take on the New Orleans Saints, and we are hoping for touchdowns. Joining us here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is none other than Ryan Fitzpatrick. How you doing, Ryan?
I am good. I'm glad you mentioned the Harvard thing. I'm here cleaning my degree right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, something I like to bring up early and often. Also, Chris Hogan played lacrosse.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, that's a good one.
Get out of here.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Wow. Didn't know that. Yeah, I heard you went to Harvard. I heard about that. So,
way in the past, though. It's been a while.
Has it been? How'd you get there, man? How'd you get there, Ryan? How'd you wind up on that?
very crazy. Mm-hmm. I did not know until I started getting letters mm-hmm. from Harvard that they had a football team. And that was like junior or senior year of high school. Because I grew up in Arizona, and it's not, you know, we're not, we didn't used to live in the day of ESPNU where I could turn it off.
Nice.
See Harvard playing Cornell battling out on a Friday night.
Yes.
So I just didn't get recruited by many people, so I decided to go to the best school I could. So it was my fallback.
Hell of a fallback. Hell of a fallback, man. You're doing great in the TV gig, Ryan. It seems like you're a natural for it. And you're enjoying it. What preps have you been doing for this gig?
It has been so much fun. I think part of it is we've got Richard Sherman straight off the field, Andrew Whitworth straight off the field, Tony Gonzalez, who's like the... Obviously, he's been doing this for a while on different networks. He's got, like, dad jokes up the wazoo. So it's like sometimes you laugh, sometimes you make fun. But and then Carissa Thompson's kind of our QB directing and making sure that all these rookies know what the heck they're doing. But it's been fun for me just to stay connected. The fact that it wasn't a hard stop, you know, done playing football and done with everything in the NFL. So my prep and homework, a lot of it is watching football. And that's something, aside from like Monday and Sunday night games, I've never really been able to experience with my kids before. So it's been a lot of fun just to sit on Sunday and be able to sit back and watch the games with them.
Ryan Fitzpatrick here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is going on in Denver? What can you diagnose for me what the issue is with the Broncos so far?
It is hard to watch right now, and the maybe the hardest part about it is their defense is playing so well. So if they did anything on offense, they would be such a better team right now. But it's obviously hasn't been a good fit between Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson, because if you look at their offense, there's talent, and I think it. You know, it's tough that they lost Williams to the ACL for the year. He was a big part of what they do, but it's not like Russell Wilson doesn't have guys to throw to. And, you know, sitting there watching the film, it's kind of head-scratching because there are a lot of plays where guys are open, and I don't know if he's just not comfortable with the read yet or he's not comfortable in the offense, but there's just, you know, some stuff that I know coaching-wise they can do better, but a lot of stuff that falls on Russ as well. And he's never really been like at this point in his career where he's the one that's taken the brunt of the blame, but I think that's kind of where it's shifting at this point.
Well, I mean, because anybody who makes that much, right, and is also, you know, puts himself out there, commercials and memes and things of that nature, you're going to get those slings and arrows. That's just the nature of the NFL. What coaching stuff, though, have you seen that you think needs to be buttoned up, changed here? Because the
I mean, we've seen the clock management stuff. You know, we've seen some of the questionable decisions. You know, even in our Thursday night game, I know we live in a world of analytics and this is win percentages, but there's a third down late in that game where Russell Wilson ends up throwing an interception in the end zone, and I'm just. You know, why not hand the ball off and kick the field goal to go up six? Because if anybody was actually watching that game, Indy could not protect Matt Ryan. It was a bloodbath back there. There was no way they were going to go down the field and score a touchdown. I don't care what the analytics said or the winning percentage. It was an easy decision to hand that ball off on third down, get to the two-minute warning, kick a field goal, go up six, and put it in the hands of your defense because they were playing so well and getting after Matt.
Ryan Fitzpatrick here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then the conversation surrounding Justin Fields last week and what we saw last week on Thursday night. We're going to see that front and center again on Monday night. He's going to have a nationally televised game. This is the Belichick defense he's going against this time, too. And normally he will just chew up any offensively challenged team and spit it straight out. So what's your sense of Justin Fields' development, having watched that in person last week, Ryan?
Yeah, it was hard to watch. And even leading up to the game, it was hard to watch because I did not know how good of a runner he is. It is, in my mind, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields, and then everybody else. But he is that dynamic. And I mean, I guess all the Ohio State highlights and things and games that I saw, you know, his receiving core at Ohio State, he has, you know, potentially four first-rounders that he was throwing to. So Richard Sherman made the comment in the telecast, like, his receiving core has gotten worse going from college to the NFL, and it's not any disrespect to Darnell Mooney and the boys, but that's how talented they were. He just, you know, this offense needs to play to his strengths. And right now his strength is not sitting in the pocket and throwing passes. He's having a really hard time getting through progressions. And there's been a little bit. There's been flashes of getting him outside the pocket and letting him just read 1-2-3 and making it easy on him. And they just need more of it. Luke Getsy needs to get away from the Green Bay-style offense and play to Justin's strengths, because there's some stuff that he does really well. But sitting in the pocket, you're not going to win games with him sitting in the pocket and reading one guy, putting his eyes down and running.
Well, another guy you could definitely put in the category of running, you're going to see on Thursday night, you're seeing tomorrow night, and Kyler Murray. What have you seen on film prepping for this game? Or we just throw it out because there was no DeAndre Hopkins, and that's going to switch up right now. Robbie Anderson's now in that house. What do you make of the Cardinals so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. One of the stats from last year, when DeAndre played, they're 8-2. When he didn't, they're 3-4. And so, I think he obviously, you know, for a quarterback, and I played with him back in 2014. And if you remember all the way back to then, that was kind of the first year that a young DeAndre Hopkins overtook Andre Johnson in terms of being the number one receiver on that Houston team. He's such a great safety blanket for a quarterback, because if you get man-to-man coverage, even if he's covered, he's open because of his catching radius, because of how dynamic he is with the ball in the air. So that part is going to be good for Kyler. He's not necessarily a burner and never has been, but he's probably lost a little bit. But he's still going to be able to get downfield and make those plays. I'll say the guy that has jumped out to me the last few weeks that was hurt early, Rondale Moore, who I didn't know a whole lot about. He is really exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I hope their offense gets going. You know, the thing that is scary to me, the two divisional opponents they played, the Rams and Seattle, they didn't score a touchdown versus either of those teams. So Cliff Kingsbury offense, we always talk about the league just figuring it out halfway through the season. It seems like the league has this thing figured out, especially when you can't score a touchdown in your division.
Ryan Fitzpatrick of Thursday Night Football, Prime Video right here on the Rich Eisen Show. A few more minutes left with him. So, Ryan, I know it's not your game, but Sunday night we're all going to be watching the Steelers and the Dolphins. On a scale of 1 to 10, Brian Flores and Tua Tagovailoa together on the same field in the same house. We're Miami, and we all know what's going on there. What's the awkward meter, 1 to 10, Ryan? What do you got for me on that
one? I think they will avoid any interaction. I don't think you'll get your handshake or your bro hug before or after the game. I think it's an important game for Tua. Yes, he's because you know, Brian Flores is on the other side, and I'm sure Brian's gonna you know, say this is what we need to do to this kid, this and this. But you know, for Tua, and again, what we saw Sunday versus the Bills, and then that Thursday night game following, with the concussions and the fencing posture and all that, for him to come back, hopefully, you know, being completely healthy and being able to get through the season without any more concussions, I think everybody's going to be dialed in and is rooting for him just to be able to stay healthy for the rest of the year.
Well, I mean, I know this sounds like a tea-spilling question, but whatever you're willing to share, what was happening back then when Tua was drafted? You're there, you're playing, he's in, Flores was making a decision. It seemed like there was that was a tip and there was an iceberg underneath. Is that a fair assessment to say, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, even as quarterback and on the front lines and in some of those meeting rooms, you still never really know what exactly was going on behind the scenes. But, you know, I've been in that situation quite a bit where they drafted Tua high. Obviously, it was going to be my team until they felt like he was ready. And that was the COVID year. Our bye got moved, I think, up from maybe week 11 to week 6. And so, you know, the natural, whether it's after a Thursday night game where you get the 10, 11 days, or it's after, you know, a bye where you can put a young kid in and start planning and get a cheat and get a few extra days, that's probably when it was going to happen all along. It was just tough because there was some stuff Tua wasn't ready for. He wasn't prepared to go out and do. But that being said, his progression as a quarterback, I think some of it you can point to that year and putting him in. You know, the problem is we went 10-6, and there were some guys on that team that felt like, you know, maybe I gave a better chance to win, but long-term for the Dolphins, that was the better move for them to do.
Sure, but he and I guess Flores were not copacetic, or were you just sort of in between that whole thing? I mean, what was going on?
And some of that got worse after I left.
Right.
You know, there was an influx of offensive coordinators, and they continued to change play callers, and nobody was ever really good enough for the head coach. But Tua, I think, did a good job through all of that of battling through, of working hard, putting his head down. And I think this year he's been able to see the other side of it a little bit with a coach in Mike McDaniel that completely 100% believes in him as a player, loves him as a person. And you've seen the results early for Tua, and you know how that mental part, just giving him some confidence, has really translated on the field.
I got a few minutes left with you here, Ryan. A few questions that I have burning here. You got a Thursday night game, Buffalo at New England. Are you going to show up without your shirt, sit in the stands for that one? I know it's not in Buffalo, but that's the last time I saw you involved with a Bills game. Was shirtless in the stands.
I think if the Bills score 7 consecutive touchdowns,
they did
in that playoff game, I may go ahead and do it on set.
Okay. You could do it on set. I mean, whatever floats your boat, I think the country would like to see that again, quite frankly. how did that come about, that moment?
It was awesome. So I usually take my two oldest boys to the Super Bowl every year, and just wasn't really feeling going to L.A. for the Super Bowl, so... with the Bills having a home playoff game against New England, I just felt, you know, what better game to take these dudes to than this? And so we went. Fans were crazy. Just walking in, they were crazy. The environment was awesome.
Yeah.
It was obviously an incredible game. And my knucklehead kids the whole time, oh, Dad, let's go shirts off. Dad, shirts off. And, you know, finally after, I think it was a touchdown to Dawson Knox, and literally 7 possessions, 7 touchdowns, I decided it was time. And we did it, and you know, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, and how did it sit with the rest of the family when it got out there, Ryan? Everybody cool? We're good.
No, everybody was cool with it. I mean, there were some comments about, you know, how much hair I had, and it still looked like I had a sweater and all that. But, yeah, we were all good.
Got the layered effect even when you're wearing a shirt. Is that what they were saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how that works. And is Buffalo your choice to win it all? As we're currently sitting here, Ryan?
Yeah, they are. And I'm definitely a bit of a homer. I mean, there's some bias in that selection. But if we're looking at the entire team, the offense, the quarterback, the defense, and even their defense, how well they're playing with the injuries that they've sustained, it's a winning formula. But it was great to see them knock off the Chiefs in Arrowhead. That was a big step for them in winning that game.
I mean, and Josh Allen, best quarterback in the NFL right now? Would you have to agree with that?
He's definitely my pick. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is always up there as well. But, you know, right now the MVP race is probably between those two guys.
Okay, and you're going to see Brady next week. What do you think he's thinking right now at 3-3, getting set to take on Carolina this week in Carolina, and then there's the Ravens the following week at 3-3, still have a piece of the division, but he's getting a lot of pressure up front. He was barking at the offensive line in Pittsburgh. What do you think's going through his mind, Ryan?
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. And I said this on a show the other day, the Bucs to me are just a team. I mean, he seems a little disinterested this season. It's been interesting to watch, because that's his thing has always been how focused he is, laser focused all the time, whether it's an inferior opponent or a big, you know, Sunday, Monday night game. He just always seems to be on it. And there's just something that feels a little off that's just missing this year. I compared it to 2019, which was his last year with New England. I think is that right?
2019, yep, that is.
2020?
Yeah, correct.
2019.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Same thing, where it's just something felt off of that offense. And, you know, he was exasperated all the time and just not real happy with the way things were going. That being said, this Bucs team, Todd Bowles always has an aggressive, great defense. You know, they haven't been playing as well as they can lately, but they're going to sleepwalk their way to 10-7, and then hopefully everything gets right in the playoffs. I just feel like that's what this Tampa team looks like right now. You know, they've got a breather game in the Panthers this weekend, and then we get to see them on Thursday night.
Well, I look forward to watching you the rest of this Thursday season. I guess I'm going to be spending the day after Thanksgiving watching you next year, too, right? That got added yesterday for next year's schedule. You already.
Yeah,
already
that'll be on my birthday. So send me.
Oh, is that right?
Well.
Oh, is that right? Oh, yeah. So do you get like a triple discount because you work for Amazon Prime? It's Prime Friday and then it's your birthday?
You know what? The crazy thing is, even though now I'm working for Amazon and Prime Video is blowing up, I still have to pay for it just like you do.
What the hell? Have you not met Bezos yet? Has that not happened?
I have. I met him.
How'd that go? How was the Fitzpatrick Bezos Summit? What happened there?
It was great. We had dinner in Kansas City kind of with the whole squad.
All right.
He's jacked. Oh, my goodness. He is ripped up. I mean, if we got in a push-up contest, I know I would be in trouble.
No kidding. Okay, yeah. So that means you have also, if I'm not mistaken, then since you said it was a big dinner, you have had the pleasure of sharing a steak with Al Michaels then, which is one of the greatest things ever. Have you done that yet, Ryan? Have we?
Well documented. Steak, no veggies.
Ever. He's not had a green, he's not eaten anything green in his life, and he is so proud of telling that to anybody who has dinner with him. That's a fact. You saw that.
He is the best. I mean, just even my 13-year-old who met him last week in Chicago, he said, "Dad, he sounds like exactly like he does on TV." But it's such an iconic voice, and I like more. We could do a whole podcast or show on his hotel reviews. I like every week
Ryan
talking about the hotels.
Ryan,
what's good and bad about them?
Ryan, the first time I ever met Al Michaels, it was the owners' meeting in 2004, so the year before you were drafted. Okay, you were in Harvard, right? That's where you were at the time.
Yep.
Okay,
yeah,
you were at Harvard, right?
Yep.
Okay,
so to graduate. Yep.
You're in Harvard. I was the first year host of NFL Network, and it was at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach, Florida, the famed Breakers Hotel. Al was leaving, getting in a courtesy car to go to the airport. Howard Katz, longtime NFL executive and television executive, where they go way back to the wide world of sports days, says, "Al, what would you rate the Breakers?" Al looks at him and says, 2.5 seasons, got in the car, and went off to the airport. That happened.
It is the best. He usually, you know, we'll see. I usually see him the day of the game, so I'll get a full night's review on everything that happened. But he is one
treasure.
In a million.
Yes, he is.
Unbelievable.
He is. He's a treasure. And then just last one, I'm assuming when the check was placed in front of Bezos, nobody reached, right? Nobody reached to the check. It was just, it's his, right?
Correct? Yeah, no, I don't think everybody even did the fake reach.
He didn't even do that. No. It's like that Geico commercial, right? With just the fake alligator.
Fake reach.
The fake reach. Okay, very good. Ryan, I hope this is the first of many times you appear here. Thank you so much for doing it. And like I said, I really enjoy watching you and the rest of the crew on Thursdays. Thank you.
All right, Rich. Thank you.
Right back at you. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick, formerly of Harvard, now of Amazon. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Well, I guess once you're Harvard, always Harvard. My bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Harvard University. I'm just trying to get ready for that because I know Chris Carter's coming up next hour. I don't want to screw that up.
Got it.
Yeah. I don't want to screw it up.
Let's talk about them not getting Prime for free.
Huh?
Let's talk about them not getting Prime for free. So with that?
Hey, come on. Hook a brother up.
That would never be me. If I'm sitting there, I'm like, hey, Jeff.
Would you?
Yeah.
You know, say Jeff?
Hey, Jeff.
I'm going to call him. Mister? Like, yeah, Jeff.
Jeff. Yo, Jeff.
I'm an employee. What's up with some Prime?
Swag and Prime, right?
Oh, yeah.
Does Ashton know him? Ashton must know him.
He probably.
Ashton must know him.
I'm sure he does.
Absolutely.
You know? That has nothing to do with me, though. I mean, you know.
Why? You're friends with him.
Okay.
Did you ready to throw it a break?
I think we should go to break.
Before I do, just to let you know that you can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. If it's the NFL, it's on Westwood One, where you can hear Thursday Night Football and watch it on Prime Video right here on Roku. We're back on the Roku channel and more. in a moment. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chris Carter and my power rankings right around the corner.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
When you open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you're opening up more than just doors. You are unlocking potential, the potential to do your own thing, be your own boss, steer your own success, and blaze your own trail, or drive all the way from Western New York to Kansas City to be part of a Bills victory. How great was that with Jordan Poirier yesterday talking about, hey,
his family.
I was in a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. That's where he went to. Back and forth.
Are we there yet? Yep.
Back and forth. So he scratched all those great experiences off his bucket list, like telling his daughter we're almost there.
15 hours is so long.
And also beating the Chiefs in Arrowhead.
Pretty impressive.
Look, you can, no matter how far off the beaten path that your dreams are going to take you through a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, guess what? You're right on the road with 16 body types, your choice of a gas or diesel engine, thousands of ways to customize. A Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help you drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Do not wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this here program. So, Yanks took care of business against the Guardians. I will say this about the Guardians. They're a good baseball team. They're a really, really good baseball team. That Stephen Kwan has blossomed into a hell of a baseball player who makes contact, and the entire team makes contact. They're so difficult to strike out. And every single time they make contact, they get in the infield hit or a ball bloops in somewhere. I mean, yesterday, Yankees get a three-run shot from Stanton in the first, and then a solo shot from Judge to give him a fourth run. And the Guardians, before that Judge shot, got one on the board because I think it was Kwan who made contact, and the ball drops just in one little Bermuda Triangle spot out there in left field right on the line, and Aaron Hicks gets knocked into by Oswaldo Cabrera, who's playing short. Hicks, by the way, was just left off the ALCS roster, unfortunately. He's not going to be able to play against the Astros. But anyway, my point is that the Guardians just keep on keeping on. And they're very difficult to get out. And in this day and age where there's those three most common outcomes of an at-bat, strikeout, walk, or home run, they're the outliers. They're like, well, don't forget the infield singles and the bloops, and then we'll maybe come up with a blast or five consecutive singles to come back from a two-run deficit in the ninth inning to go up 2-1 in the divisional series. You know, Terry Francona, I think, is a Hall of Famer. The bullpen has a ton of great arms. You know, they shore up their starting pitching a little bit and maybe add a little bit more pop or get some more pop from the young guns that are coming up. They're going to be very difficult to get out of the AL Central lead, and we'll see what happens as they matriculate forward. That said, Gleyber Torres earned his pinstripes yesterday, collecting the final out of the divisional series and rocked the baby at second base.
Amazing.
And on behalf of all Yankee fans who were highly offended by Josh Naylor's insane trip around the bases. I mean, that wasn't a Cadillac. That was, I know, in this day and age, supposed to be fun. I didn't find that fun at all. And clearly the Yankees didn't either. They only scored, by the way, the Guardians one more run since after Naylor's home run. That was it. And I enjoyed watching Gleyber Torres do that, fully admitting that I'm also a Jet fan who likes seeing Sauce Gardner with the cheesehead hat on. It's great when it's for you, not done to you, obviously. But we are seeing in this day and age, as it appears in baseball, that as long as you do it towards your dugout, you could do whatever the hell you
anything
want.
Anything goes, yeah.
It's kind of like our version of being disrespectful, as long as you say with all due respect first. If you say with all due respect first, You could do whatever the hell you want. You could say whatever you want. You could be as disrespectful as all get out. You could say, well, I gave you your due respect before I was absurdly disrespectful to you.
Remember Reese Hoskins, Gronk spiked his bat.
But he did it in the direction of his dugout. Like if he'd done that to the opposing dugout or at the pitcher.
Right.
Different ball of wax.
Different.
But he took it, and now everybody is hitting home runs and spiking the bat.
Yelling at their dugout.
And carrying it up the first baseline. But as long as you're doing that towards your teammates, I think anything goes now.
All good.
And so that was the response that I got the most from me being offended by Josh Naylor running around the bases and screaming and yelling like a lunatic and doing this rock the baby and, you know, I'm your effing daddy, you're my effing son. Yeah. Even though he's saying that about the pitcher, but he's saying it to his dugout. So that's fine, even though he's
200 feet
mocking,
away.
Like he's mocking the individual he just homered off of.
Right.
But it's fine as long as he's doing it to his dugout, even though, you know, his dugout, the pitcher who he's mocking is in between. And it could be easily said that he was doing it towards the pitcher. And he did, on occasion, turn his head towards Cole. And we're good. But the Yankees were the kings of the last laugh. They didn't do a damn thing in the game. They didn't throw at him. They pitched to him. They didn't throw at anybody else. They pitched to everybody else. And once the final scoreboard was done, Gleyber Torres caught the final out at second base and rocked the baby. And on behalf of all Yankee fans, two saludes, sir. That was good stuff. Now comes the Astros.
Oh.
And as you know,
get the thumbs out.
I have been very concerned about this.
Get the thumbs out.
That is a bandbox of craziness down there, man. That is a band box of craziness. And here we come. The Yankees just got to get Altuve or Bregman out. Problem is, there's that kid, Alvarez.
I mean, kid, he's a monster.
He's a grown-ass man. My bad.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
But here we go. It's finally here. Chris Carter and my power rankings coming up. It's finally here. Okay? And then yesterday,
Phillies looked good.
Phillies looked really good.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper and Schwarber homer, and the pitching Hanson makes it stand up. That's it.
I mean, Yu makes two mistakes. He's been awesome.
Right.
Two mistakes, boom, lose. Schwarber, Jesus, what a bomb.
That was an amazing. I mean, he, as you know, what do we call him when we were there for the home run derby years ago? When he is a Cub. He's a fire hydrant with arms that moves. He is just he's a cranking home run guy.
Jeez, like Boston is letting him go. Oh,
can I just say something that I'm sure is going to upset some people? I'll do it anyway. What if the Cubs had kept their team together? I know the pitching's different.
Dude, right?
I thought that when they were fire sailing. Like, why?
What were they doing? I know the
Rizzo?
Pitching is different.
But still.
Bryant. Rizzo. Schwarber. Baez.
Hobby. Yeah.
What if they kept them together?
Three, maybe four.
What was the reason why?
What was the reason?
I think money, right? I don't know. Is that what it was?
If I were a Cubs fan, though, that
Madden,
was...
How are the Madden Cubs around? Short of cash?
Madden?
Right.
Got rid of him?
Yeah. I don't understand why they just gave up.
Good.
They threw the towel in.
You kind of thought like when the Cubs broke up, that Schwarber's just a one-note, one-hit wonder. Mm-hmm. Red Sox, then the Phillies. Yeah, he has been just a left-handed home run machine.
Would have been nice to have that bat.
The Phillies are jacked up. Why not? There are three wins from the World Series.
Ross Matthews talks to celebrities, friends, and people with interesting stories to tell. Who's saying hello, Ross, this week? Chelsea Handler.
I'm not home enough to have a third dog. My housekeeper basically is their parent. I'm not going to get another dog so that she has to take care of another dog until one of these dogs exits.
It's a good move. I have three rescue dogs and only two hands. And when you're one person, that's too hard to do. I recommend two max, okay?
Use your foot, Ross.
Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.